I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I'm one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and guy who is 4 days later still recovering from a bachelor party weekend, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Soren Bowie. Mr. Soren Bowie, not too loud, please.
Hey, everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I write for American Dad. I am also sore, incredibly sore, from playing Ultimate Frisbee 5 days ago.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Haven't used those Frisbee muscles in a while, huh?
No, I was bad. I was bad enough that I'm still, when I'm going to sleep at night, I'm still thinking about it and like the things I fucked up.
Yeah.
And like part of me wants to be like, well, there's that. I mean, the next time you go back, it's only going to be better. But I don't believe that. I was like, I clearly lost a step. I dropped a few that were easy catches. My jump was not timed right. Some things I'll catch again, like I'll get back on, but you know, it's really frustrating to not be naturally and beautifully athletic.
Yeah.
And the worst part, Dan, was that a Dan was there. Dan, who works on Daily Zeitgeist, was also there.
Oh, Daniel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me
why you're sore.
It's a bachelor party weekend. Just, I can't hang anymore with just like three straight days of being out. And we were in Nashville and just like drinking and eating like monsters. And we're all really glad. Can I tell you how many people are in this bachelor party?
Well,
17. My childhood friend. A great friend of mine, and like it's a testament to his kind of character that 17 guys would absolutely show up to this
to
this party,
yeah.
and support him. And we're all in our 30s, but we're all also like, it's for Chris. We're gonna drink and we're gonna have fun and we're gonna eat and we're gonna party. And it's not in my blood. It's not my bones anymore. I was still like as much as I tried to hang, I was still in bed by like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, Dan, that sucks.
I know.
And were like, you getting up and running?
Yes. Ran 8 miles in Nashville. I ran with the Bachelor.
Okay.
And okay. I can't wake up and like, I need to do that run because otherwise this is a crew that'll start drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I was like, nah, I can't.
It's a bachelor party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there are there's tacit agreements with a bachelor party. And one is that whatever the groom is doing, you do as well. Whatever the groom, it seems like the groom might want.
Yeah,
like that's
yeah.
Also, you're anticipating that and you're going to do what's fun. So if you're running with him, that's fine.
Yeah.
I have run at a bachelor party before and it was because I woke up in the morning and felt so god awful that I was like, I think that this might be the only thing that keeps me alive.
Yeah.
And gone and like slowly trotted down the street and then back. And I was like, yeah, that helped. another one is that you can't go to sleep so early. Also, you can't turn down alcohol. You're not allowed to turn down alcohol at a bachelor party.
I think it was there was a lot of late night food too. That's the thing. Going to sleep at 10 is the thing that that's what I mostly missed out on because we would be out all day. And then when we got in, we weren't like, let's go in, let's rally, let's go back out again. We would sit around a table and play a card game called Guts and we would drink and eat. And then someone would order way too much fast food to the house. And then that became like a almost prank where someone would would say, I'm leaving, I have to go to bed now, and they'd come back with two bags of Wendy's. And I would eat as much garbage as I could. And we're like, all right, I had some great barbecue, I had this incredible Indian food, and we got some White Castle. Good night, everybody. And then I would wake up the next morning and there'd be Taco Bell bags somewhere. Like, I missed the Taco Bell run at some point.
I like that you guys went to Nashville and ate a bunch of fast food. That's right up my alley. I had to have questions about the cuisine. Did you guys have hot chicken while you were there?
I did not this time, because the last time I was in Nashville with you, we got the famous Nashville hot chicken.
The famousest.
Like, yeah.
Like, we went to the place that was like the place.
Yeah. And I felt like, all right, I got it. It's not really anything too special. And I think of all the various poisons that I was putting in my body that weekend, incredibly hot buffalo sauce was like, no, let's draw a line somewhere. We don't have pills for all of this.
Did you drink moonshine while you were there?
No.
So that was the thing that really startled me when we went to Nashville, was how many places offer moonshine on their menu.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Nashville likes to, Nashville somehow is like claiming ownership of moonshine in a way where I was like, okay, cool. You figured it out. Let's try it. You got different flavors. Let's try a peach one. No, that's fucking rubbing alcohol. Why would you even say that there's peach in that?
Yeah. But it was a great time. I think it's the same thing as your bachelor party where there's no, it's people who like you and are gravitated towards you. There are no bad actors in the bunch. It was just like a group of 17 incredibly bro-y, very sweet boys that confused a lot of people. We were out at honky tonks and like someone asked us like, what is this? There's so many of you and I've never seen more guys like openly affectionate with each other. Like, we're just very supportive of each other, patting each other on the back and like excitedly chatting. And we were at a million honky tonks because they're all over the place there. And we just don't make a whole lot of sense there in Nashville, the bachelorette capital of the world. So there's plenty of bachelorette parties. And then this one group of sweaty, almost 20 men singing along to
get places. Like, how did, like, let's say you had to leave, you're gonna go out to dinner, how are you rallying that many people? And then also, how are you, just transportation wise, like, how are you getting there?
You just get like big suburban lifts for like two or three for the whole group, and they're just like a lot of, we roughly knew our few like scheduled things, Topgolf, nice restaurant, and a couple other places. We all kind of knew when that was supposed to happen, so we were all rallying at the right time. And it's again, oops, all sweeties, just everyone stepping up. I'll get the lift this time. Next, it's your turn, whatever. And there are no problems.
That's great. I do actually really, I've been places where you're in a big group with guys and girls, and again, this is going to sound very gendered, but I've been at bachelor parties where everybody can leave a house at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, we're going to go get on a boat. Okay. Yeah. And everybody just goes. And like, you on the way, you're like, are you not wearing shoes? Yeah, do you think I'll need them? No, I don't know, man. Like, everybody's just going to go. Like, no, nobody puts any thought into it beforehand. And I guess obviously sometimes that backfires, but also it's so nice to have, to be that mobile, to have everybody like be able to turn on a dime.
Certainly.
Because when I've been out with guys and girls, where like, you're trying to get out of the house, you're like, it's 3 o'clock. This dinner's at 7. We're probably not going to make it.
Yeah. The most fun and very heartwarming and sweet thing. So at all these honky tonks, first of all, the thing in Nashville, every musician everywhere is great. Every band you see, and there's like two bands in every fucking honky tonk, playing for 4 straight hours, and they all have the same deal, which is, we can play anything. Venmo us a request, and we will play the song that you want.
Wow.
And, we found this one band that we liked a lot. And the other thing about honky tonks is I take them at their word that they are receiving requests and playing what they're told. Every country song sounds the same to me. They all sound exactly the same. So it's like, yeah, this probably explains at least some of the way how you could play every song that gets requested is because you know it's going to be the same 25 songs that all sound this one very specific way. And we got together for The Bachelor, and we Venmoed the band And the guy was looking at his phone. He's like, okay, a couple good options here. Who's Joe? And we're like, Joe's with us. And he raised his hand. He's like, oof. It's $20 for Monster Mash. I don't know about this. And like, there's a fiddle player in the band and she's going, absolutely not. And like, we were chanting Monster Mash and sending them more money. And I've never seen anything like this before. We're like, the band just stopped playing music for a while they all looked at their phones and I guess learned the song in front of us in real time. And at one point the guitarist goes, I think I might have played this once on Halloween. And we were like, yeah, probably Halloween. It's probably that.
Oh, that one? <You're- laughs> This wasn't a Christmas ditty you
and,
learned?
And he put the lyrics, he had like his phone attached to the mic stand and he put the lyrics going on his phone. And this band fucking crushed Monster Mash like they'd been doing it their whole lives. They were doing the background vocals. They did the whole thing. We were so pumped. Eventually the bar got pumped with us. And like we ran out to the dance floor and we're all doing the Monster Mash, whatever we all think that dance looked like.
We're not even sure that the Monster Mash is a dance, right?
No. And but we're all doing some approximation of a Monster Mash. There are regional differences.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And also, if you're Dracula, it's a very different dance than if you're Frankenstein.
And we did explain, hey, this would really mean a lot to us. Chris, our friend, he loves the song, and next month he's going to be Dracula. Would really mean a lot to him before that ceremony.
How much do you guys think you spent on Monster Mash?
Well over $200.
Incredible. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And no problem. And the bar was eventually on board with us. We got a lot of high fives and excitement. Right before the mash started, the singer was asking where we were all from, and we said Jersey. And then some older guy came up to us while we were staying at the bar. He's like, you're from Jersey? Where are you from in Jersey? And he shows me his shirt that he's got, like, whatever Jersey town it was in. And it was like, oh, yeah, we're all originally from Monmouth County. And then I start hearing the Monster Mash as this guy is talking to me. And I'm like, sir, I'm so sorry. I have to go. They're doing the mash.
I have to go see about a song.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It made me... So this is... Hey, Soren, quick question.
Uh-huh.
What was dancing like for you growing up? I know it's probably different because you lived in a small town and you were educated in that haunted house cabin from Yellow Jackets, but you had school dances, or if not school dances, you would go out places and there'd be music playing. Was there like, did people dance?
In my little town of Footloose? No, yeah. Absolutely not.
I was dancing. I'm not a good dancer, but it felt like our
That's
dance.
That's not true. I've seen you dance.
Thanks, man. I think canonically, though, for my branding, I'm not a good dancer.
Okay, go on.
It helps me seem accessible to the fucking freaks who love this show. Weird indoor goblins. But I feel like growing up, we didn't have a lot of dancing options. I didn't learn any dances. And in Jersey in the past, at school dances, it really felt like the thing you were doing was dicks and butts. We would want to find a girl who would dance with you, and then you would, I think we called it grinding. I don't know if that made it to the rest of the country.
Grinding
mostly
was
like
popular.
Like school dancing, you stand in the corner at the wall, and then hopefully you find someone to slow dance with if an opportunity comes. And hopefully you work up the courage to do some dicks and butts grinding. And that was the extent to most of our dancing. There was that brief explosion of swing in the 90s that no one really likes talking about. And so a few of us learned some swing dancing. But the thing that I found so cool about Nashville is the amount of people who all know line dances. And like, there's something really heartening about a song playing and like people of different ages rushing up and like doing this practiced choreographed thing. It's something I think I would have loved to do as a kid. I if not necessarily strictly line dancing, but just like the idea of, no, I'm going to learn this thing so I can dance with a girl at a place. And that's mm-hmm. like so embedded in their culture, the amount of people who know these dances. And I think especially just coming from being not a very strong dancer. So I was never just like out at a school dance or a club, just like moving to the music in any way. I'm mostly standing there talking to my buddies the whole time. I think it would be cool to every once in a while be like, oh, I know this song. Yeah, let's get up. Let's do this song. Let's kick our feet and hop around. And it just seems like a fun cultural thing that we just did not have.
You guys didn't ever do the Cupid Shuffle?
No.
Feels like it's at every wedding I go to. That one is like, that's a very cheaty one. That one, it has like the approximation of a line dance, but it's a different type mm-hmm. of music. And it's easy. It's easy for everyone to do. It looks good enough when everybody's doing it simultaneously that it's very fun to watch if you don't know it. And as you were talking about this, I was like, I don't think, because we didn't have really dances in high school. But I did learn a lot of dance. what you're talking about is like you go to a bar or you go to a place and any Latin music comes on. You could be like, I mean, I know how to salsa. I know the basics of salsa.
That's cool.
Let's just go, like, let's go dance. And then you do that. And you know, like, three little flourishes that go along with it. And that's all you need.
Man.
And we learned that for my wedding, we learned a waltz, which is like, You can do like a very slow waltz and it just looks like a good slow dance.
Yeah, one, two, three.
And we learned a box step, or I guess it's a foxtrot, but I don't know where fucking I got all this. But yeah, like I know all these dances. Which means I can get out there and I can be like, oh no, let's see, listen. Okay, that's foxtrot. Let's just go do it. And then like you can do it.
That's cool. I would be shocked if it turned out that all of my friends growing up were like, no, we could foxtrot and waltz and salsa. It was just you by yourself.
But I remember school dances in middle school because that was public school. And that was the same, what you would expect. It's every movie presents it the same way, is you have your arms around somebody, you just wobble back and forth for a while, and then you're done.
Yeah.
And then in high school, we would have occasionally like a live band would come, but it was always bluegrassy. Like it's very hippie dancing. You know, it's a lot of like arms to the sky stuff. And I don't know where the fuck all this other dancing came from in my life. Where did I learn this?
I mean, it's possible that you just took it upon yourself to do that because you're a person who likes to learn skills that could be useful somewhere. But even then, I don't know. If you're Googling dances or...
I don't know how I got the... Yeah. I mean, like, salsa, I never even thought about it. I know, like, size of salsa, traditional salsa, and then, like, a couple of different moves. And fucking, that's just, like... at this point, it feels very a priori. It feels like it was just in me from baked in. Yeah. That can't be possible. Because cool. I do not have, like, a good rhythm.
that's cool. I'm jealous of that. I was jealous the entire time in Nashville. And like they weren't dancing to every song, but like very clearly, if it was a song that somehow they all knew the specific dance for it, everyone was like, there wasn't a question. You're going to sit it out. They're going to get up and they're going to dance. That's why we're here. We do this every weekend. And I would leave my group and watch the dancers. Cause I just think it's so, I, as a non-dancer, I'm so impressed by it. It feels like a magic trick and I just love watching it.
I totally agree with you. I agree with you when like all of a sudden you see, especially line dancing, because it's a bunch of people that all know it. Feels like you're in a flash mob or something.
Yeah.
But just when you get out on a dance floor and then you see two people who know what the fuck they're doing and like are in rhythm together and you're like, holy shit, I'm watching something I shouldn't be seeing. Like this is incredible. Like they are one person. This is incredible.
There was one couple where she like... They got to be like 19 and 20 or something like that. She is like dressed up as a country person in Nashville. And they get this one dance that like they fucking... This is why they left the house today, is to do their dance. It was different than the ones that a lot of the other people were doing. And they'd incorporated like... She does a cartwheel.
What?
Yeah. And she was like really feeling this music. They're taking up space because they're very serious about this. And I could see, being who I am and looking at the guy, I could see just by his eyes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, spin, 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 hands, hands, hands. And he's like, the level of concentration on his face. And I just think that's awesome. This is like a thing that this couple can do together. It's on their list of things they can do. How cool.
He's Billy Joel in Uptown Girl, the video, where he's just like, you see him counting it out, like really sweating it.
Stops lip syncing the song at one point.
tongue out, trying to focus. Yeah. That's incredible. You saying that she does a cartwheel reminded me that there's also, when you get on a dance floor, there's kind of a hive mind to it all, where there are certain people that everyone acknowledges are better, and those people get more space.
Yeah.
Like everybody's going to give everybody else the space that they deserve. And no one's ever like, but I'm not getting the space I deserve. No, we all just know what it is. We all just like, we have a really good sense of where we stand in the hierarchy, and we give the space to the people who need it. And that's such a beautiful thing we don't do anywhere else in life.
No.
Anyway, I love dancing. I love, obviously, wedding dancing.
Yeah.
I wrote a whole article about how fucking rad I am at wedding dancing.
Well, did you?
Crack. Yeah. Do you remember that?
I read it.
It's so long, but it's a lot of like, it starts with just me giving everybody else their due, like giving them a chance out on the dance floor, letting them trot grandma out there, all of that. And that's like, you have no idea what's about to happen. Like, you don't know, you don't understand the Hiroshima shadows that I'm going to be leaving
that's
on the walls.
with this. Ah, silly times.
Yeah. Anyway, weapon of destruction.
That's right. This is starting to sound familiar. I will try to track it down on that broken fucking site.
I do love dancing, though. I love just like free dancing. I get very nervous if I'm just like having fun and then somebody else comes up and they want to dance with me. Because unless it is one of those three dances that I know, I'm like, ah, fuck. Like we can kind of do the same thing, but
yeah. I get very.
I'm gonna be doing a lot of shit, and it's gonna be hard. You're not gonna want to do a lot of it.
I get incredibly self-conscious dancing, as I'm sure we've talked about on this show. I want nothing more than to be a very good dancer, and I know the wisdom. It's okay if it's at a wedding. Just like relax and be comfortable and move around to the music, and no one's gonna be pointing at you being like, man, that guy really can't dance. I don't have it in me to do that. I've danced at every wedding that I've been to because I want to be a good wedding participant, but I'm constantly in my head the whole time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I'm just so drunk that I'm thinking the entire time I'm thinking, this is going really good.
Yeah. Even when I was having the greatest experience of my life doing the mash, doing the monster mash, I was still like looking at the other 37-year-old Jersey freaks. I'm like, they seem to be having more fun than I am. I think that might actually be the mash. I think what I'm doing is the twist, the monster twist. And they're different moves.
Yeah, different songs. Well, I'm glad that the bachelor party was fun, though. I'm
it
glad
was great.
You were responsible and got to bed early every single night, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Did you guys go to a strip club?
No. Yeah. Not telling any tales out of school, at your bachelor party, there was a very soft discussion, mostly to assure we were all on the same page. I don't even know if you were part of that discussion, but like, yours was in Vegas, yeah. And there are lots of strip clubs in Vegas, and there were like private side conversations that were like, I mean, if he really wants to go, we can do that. I'm not really a strip club guy, but you know, we're gonna do what Zorn wants to do this whole trip, and then
I made you all go get your dick sucked.
We ended up never going because what Zorn wanted to do was dive face first into the bottom of the pool.
You make it sound like that ruined the trip. That was the very beginning.
I know.
That was the very first thing that happened. The rest of the trip happened after that. But the night that Justin had found like a bar for us and our club for us and we had all gone out, and then we had moseyed to another one somehow. During that experience, a few of you did come up to me and you're like, dude, so do you want to go to a strip club? And in my mind, I was like, no, I do not. That does not sound like fun. But that's supposed to be what happens at a bachelor party. And I don't know if other people have hopes for that being what happens at a bachelor party. So in my face, I was saying, what's that? Like doing a heat check. Like, what does everybody else think? Like, does everybody want to go?
Yeah, we're all coming up with, like, no one wants to say no outright. No one seemed to really want to go, but people were like, I guess I would have to find an ATM to get cash. So that's just there one thing. I'm not saying no, I'm just saying that's one thing to factor in, is that we would need cash, probably.
But after I finally spoke up and I was like, you know, I don't really want to go, all of you were like, oh, thank God. Okay, great. That's great. That's great. Everybody at once could reveal how they actually felt, which was great.
Yeah. I have not been to a bachelor party that was a strip club bachelor party. I feel great about that.
I have. And every single time it's awful. And in fact, I've been to one where strippers came to the house.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's just a bunch of people in like a basement and a bunch of dudes in a basement and two strippers. And,
but that's where I'm supposed to feel safe to take shits. What do you mean you invited them? How dare you?
And maybe, I assume, a big guy standing outside the door. I don't know. And it was so rough. Like, I hated it. I hated it felt like an intrusion. It felt like, when is this over so we can play poker or something or some beer pong? Like something, let's play a sport. Let's do something fun. Right. But there's like, you know, along with that, it always seems like there's some, there's the necessity to embarrass or humiliate the bachelor using the stripper. And that whole thing I'm not so keen on.
No.
but it's always really gross and weird.
Some sort of weird, and again, this is my understanding is framed by movies, but some kind of tacit understanding that's like, cheat on your fiance now.
Yeah, it does seem like there's always at least one person in the group who's like, and now go to a room with her. but then there's just like stuff out in the open where they're like, they're on it too. They say, which one's the bachelor? And then they have like this sense of like, and now we're going to like hurt him with our breasts.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this isn't fun. Anybody else want us to hurt him? No. Go away.
We're going to handcuff him and laugh at his dick. Yeah, this is his weekend. This is the time for it.
It does make me almost, it's, given that that seems to be the way the world works in general, like you want to be part of the tribe. So growing up, I mean like my 20s when I'd go to these, like I'd want to feel like I should be there. Like I'd see everybody else and there'd be some other guys there who genuinely enjoyed it. And I was like, how do I get to that place?
Yeah. I was fully prepared to put on a brave face and really pretend I was loving sitting in a strip club between Michael Swaim and Cody Johnston.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. They're we went to,
and phones weren't even good enough then for me to plausibly be on my phone at a strip club. This was still early enough in time that phones were pretty shitty. So I would just have to be present.
You would just be searching a new ringtone out. Yeah. That was pretty much the limitations of what you could do. But yeah, we went to Katie Still's birthday at Jumbo's Clown Room.
That's right.
And it was that's like kind of like burlesque-y, but I think it's topless burlesque.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. Like that was, because I was allowed to just talk to people there. And then occasionally when we didn't have anything to talk about, I'd be like, well, let's watch somebody who knows how to dance.
Yeah. The level of skill of the performers there was very high. These were like incredibly athletic people who were like circus performers in their ability to like do fun tricks.
That was fun. And then also seeing Katie or Milana or Stevie or somebody run up with a dollar bill.
Yeah.
And get very excited about the prospect of throwing a dollar bill at the stage and then running away. Well, Dan, I have a question for you.
Hit me.
How familiar are you with the Frozen soundtrack?
I saw the first Frozen.
That's
once.
All I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've listened to the Idina Menzel song, Cold Never Bothered Me Anyway. What are you laughing? Is that not what it's called?
Okay, go on.
But I've listened to that song 10,000 times. Yes. Like her version. And also, I'll listen to any cover of that song that exists. And there was a weird, adorable trend on YouTube for a while where fathers and daughters would recreate lip syncing the song between Kristen Bell and
Love is an Open Door.
Santino. Yeah. Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
They would just like do really cute lip sync renditions of that father daughter stuff. So I've watched about a dozen of those too.
Fascinating. Okay. That's so you're my musical guy. You're the guy who like knows musicals a lot better than I do. So I'm coming to you with this. Let me just like run you through the songs. First of all, there's Frozen Heart, which doesn't really count. That one's not like, there's not like a lot of songs that are a lot of lyrics to that. But then there's Do You Want to Build a Snowman, which you probably know. For the First Time in Forever, that's the first time they're opening up the castle for everybody. And that's a Kristen Bell song. Love is an Open Door. Let It Go.
And Let It Go.
There's In Summer. That's the song by Olaf, the snowman, who just is like dreaming of a day. He wants to like, see what happens to snow in summer. And then there's a song called Fixer Upper, which is by the, if you remember, there are trolls in the movie for about 45 seconds.
That's right.
And they're singing about, not Chris, yeah, Christoph. Christoph? Yeah, Christoph. Anyway, my daughter has just gotten very into Let It Go. And I didn't understand even how she knew it, but it was, I guess, at school. It's pretty common for, they know that kids, it's like crack to kids. So when they're looking for something to do and they want kids to dance, they're going to put this song on. And the kids immediately, whether they've heard it before or not, are like, I love this. I love this. And I thought it's kind of because of the nature of the song. When you listen to what the lyrics are, it has that element of like glancing against some universal truth of like, I don't want to be held back anymore. I just want to be who I am. And I feel like a lot of musicals they're kind of pulling double duty with their songs. Cause not only do they have to have something that feels like a universal truth, or they're painting with these broad strokes that an ordinary song would do so that everybody can feel moved by a song, but they also it has to advance the plot in some way. And that gets tough, but I can't understand how everyone can sing that Let It Go song open throatedly like that when she's fucking wrong in the song, like the song she's talking about how like her life's going to be better now. Like she's gone off into the woods by herself. She's going to do her magic and like, just like let her powers be as big and bold as she wants them to be. And that's a big mistake because she's freezing up all this. freezing up this whole city. And then I started looking at the other songs. And I'm like, every single one of the songs in this is based on some, like the people are misguided singing it. They're all wrong when they sing the song, which feels so different that not only the Disney musicals, but like every musical I've ever seen.
I mean, the immediate one that's coming to mind as Disney musical is Lion King, I Just Can't Wait to Be King, where the entire song is, this kid's a piece of shit. I don't think he'd be a good king, which is
that's true,
like a lesson he has to learn by the arc of the movie, the plot of it.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that... He does, the way that he's describing it is like the way a child would understand it. So yeah, you're right. Like not having a reliable narrator feels very rare though.
Yeah.
In musicals.
The Love is an Open Door is strange because it's like a perfect, cute, romantic, playful song. And he's lying in it. He's the bad guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, there's no, You're so used to bad guys in these musicals having fun songs, but still like Scar's Be Prepared is all about we're gonna take over the Pride Lands and Ursula's poor unfortunate souls. Like there's some edge to it that makes it clear this one is bad. They're rarely as like toe tapping and fun as a con man pre betrayal.
Yeah, it's very strange that that's like it's as jaunty and fun as it is because they're both. I mean, he's lying to her in the song, but she's also like the song's not right, you know, like what, yeah. By the end, the message you're supposed to take is not like, oh yeah, love is an open door. That's a really good point. It's no, it's not. Yeah. Like that everything about this is like they're completely misguided. So like to then sing that out of the context of the movie feels so bizarre. And Let It Go is very similar in that respect, where
yeah.
Let It Go has that feeling that it could be that kind of thing. It's like, I've been repressing this thing about myself for a very long time because I'm afraid of what people will think, and fuck that. Like from now on, I'm just going to do it. And that feels that's cathartic and nice. But in this, in the context of the movie, she couldn't be more wrong. She's fucking yeah. wrong. She's killing people.
Right. She has to undo all that great character growth and be like, no, I should keep my gloves on. And
yeah, I should go back to hiding. I should go back. I was trying to control this before. I should control it. That's probably better.
And the Josh Gad Snowman song has made zero impact on me. Hearing your description, that sounds like it's also wrong, because if he will melt in summer.
Yeah. Yeah, that okay. one, it feels very on the nose. And I have that feels along the same vein as Just Can't Wait to Be King, where
yeah.
it's the entire time you're listening to the song, you know that's the joke. The joke is that they don't get it. He's talking a lot about like feeling his snow on the hot sand and stuff like that. And there's moments of little asides between Anna and Kristoff where he's like, I'm going to tell him. And she's like, don't you dare. Mm-hmm. It's funny. It's a good, funny song. But these other songs are not supposed to be funny. There's not some joke going on there. It's like we get the song. We're like, yeah, love is an open door. And then half an hour later, we're like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. But the song's good. Let's listen to that some more and let's sing it. Yeah. And so I was just surprised that this one had some kind of the staying power that it has had.
Yeah.
And so like when my daughter sings it, I'm like, yeah, let it go. But not too much. Right? That's what we learned. It's moderation. That's what we all learned.
That is her lesson by the end of it, right? She's
yeah.
What happens in that movie?
Okay. So she ends up, so it starts when she stabs her sister in the brain with ice. And then later she stabs her sister in the heart with ice, and Anna starts turning to ice. And in between all this, Anna had gone to go find her sister, who is now living in an ice castle. Elsa's living in this ice castle up on the top of this mountain nobody can go to. Mm-hmm. And while she's doing this, she is turning the entire fjord, this whole area where like a city, into a snowy hellscape.
Yeah.
All the boats are socked in with ice. People are freezing. The animals are freezing to death. It's bad. It's real bad. And she has to go find her to not only to like save her sister and be like, hey, are you okay? But also to be like, you got to fix this. And by the end, she learns that she can fix it. She learns how to control her powers and fix it, which is the fucking thing that they were doing at the beginning of the movie when they're like, you got to control these powers. She's like, yeah. And we're supposed to feel really bad for her that she has to control her powers. And so when she lets them go, you're like, yes. No, no, no. Actually, that's not quite right. Let's go back to the thing we had before. I'm going to walk that back.
For doing the same thing, that, like, again, damaging your sister in a pretty profound way.
Yeah. Kind of like an arguably worse way. The trolls say it's worse. The trolls are like, good thing this happened to her brain. The heart is not so easy to change. And then she stabs her sister in the heart with some ice.
God.
Yeah, and she can't. She does it because she's not in control. She like she doesn't even mean to. She's not pointing anything at her sister. She just like stamps her foot.
Yeah,
that's enough. I think it's a fine movie. I watched it again with my children. I've watched it with Ronan a few times, but just watched it recently with Gilly for the first time, and she loves that song. Yeah. And I'm happy to let her listen to it, but I'm like, this is different. It just feels different than all the other ones.
Yeah. I, maybe I'll see that movie again. I watched it years ago on an iPad so I could write a cracked sketch about it. and then just let that information fly right out of my head. I let it go.
What was the sketch?
This was, it's largely about what you were just talking about with her doing damage to the village. It was a meeting between Elsa and me, who was playing an advisor, just going through all the terrible things that have happened to the kingdom and how everyone's scared of you now. And like the animals are dying. This species of bug is dying. This other animal relies on that bug to eat. So now if those don't, you know, just like the environmental ripple effects of her actions. And, and that's the
great.
Sketch.
Sounds great.
We shot it in that castle where you did the Beauty and the Beast thing.
Yeah. We got think pieced for that.
We did?
Yeah. That Beauty and the Beast one got think pieced.
Did we deserve it?
No. I looked back at it not too long ago because I was like, what the fuck happened there?
Yeah.
But it was at a time when everyone was very excited to be think piecing. And so we got caught up in that. And that's fine.
Yeah. Whatever.
But I don't think you need to see Frozen 2.
I'm probably not gonna.
I don't think you, but if you have not watched Encanto, like even like the last week, watch that again.
I saw you tweeting about Encanto today.
Oh, when I'm writing my script, I will stop every once in a while when I think I need a break. And I'm like, I'm going to go check out Luisa's song for a little bit. Like, I just want to listen to that again. And I get absorbed into a different song as time passes, where like at the beginning I'd be like, nah, I'm not into that fucking what else can I do song, and then all of a sudden it'll grow on me.
I think that movie came out during a work hiatus because I remember having nothing to do, and I think I watched it twice in a row. That movie fucking rules. Music is great, lyrics are great, really beautiful and cool to look at, and just fun and different. And yeah, finish one run through the movie, and it's like, I was having a good time. I don't want to do something else now.
Run it back. it's a fun world to live in.
Yeah.
And the songs are just so good. And I will say, like, there are moments where, in Luisa's song, what the fuck is that one called?
Is that Surface Pressure? Which one is Luisa?
Yeah, that pressure. Yeah, Surface Pressure. She's like doing that drip, 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 and she's dancing to it, and she's kind of like moving her shoulder, and I'm like, shit, man, that 350-pound Luisa made of pure muscle is really hot. It comes back to dancing. Like, I just watch any of them dance, and the minute one of them dances, I'm like, no, it's that one. That's the one I like. No, it's that one. Yeah, that one. Okay, it's the cousin. She's dancing in Don't Talk About Bruno, and I like it.
I was talking to one of my friends, I think Susan, about that movie after I had first seen it, because she had seen it too. And she was talking about, you know, she's a mom, so she gets very emotional and seeing like big family stories like that. And I was like, yeah, I was getting emotional too. I teared up at a song or two. She said, what song? And I said, Surface Pressure. And she was like, oh, is it because that's what you think you're like? I'm like, huh. I did think I was thought of as someone who could shoulder responsibility and that no one needed to worry about, but I see how transparent that sounds now. So no, I just like the beat. Goodbye.
I was worried about her. That's all. There is that, like, there is some element of it. This, like, the older sibling, they landed on that very nicely, which is like the older sibling is the one who has to deal with all this stuff in the family and never really gets any credit for it.
Yeah.
So listen, watching that, it made me feel so bad for my son. I was watching it. I was like, I am too hard on him.
Pay attention to this one, boy. This is your future.
Poor Gilly gets all this attention because she needs it. You're so good. And so we don't give it to you. Anyway, I think it's a good movie. I think the songs just kick ass, man. They're so good.
All right.
Dan, there's one more thing I wanted to tell you before we stop this.
That's good. I don't have anything to say.
I was with some friends, you know, Sam and Ed. Mm-hmm. And we went to a soccer game a couple days ago. And as I'm like getting some ketchup for my fries, I'm over at the ketchup station and I see this woman come up and start talking to my friend, Sam. And so for context, for everyone listening at home, we're like 40 to 41 year old men.
Right.
And she starts talking to him. She looks like she's maybe about 10 years younger, but her body language is like, it makes me think that they have a relationship. And I'm like, but that won't make sense because he's married. And so like, I went back over to him and she's like talking to him. She's not even acknowledging me. And then she's like, all right, well, I'll see you later. And she leaves. And I just stare at him and I'm like this look of like, so now tell me what the fuck that was. Like, what are you doing? And he was like, shh. she just approached me and said that I caught her eye. And I was like, what? Incredible. That must feel so good. You're going to ride that the rest of the week. To that, have that still happen in our lives, or ever happen in our lives. There's just someone in a stadium filled with people.
Yeah.
And she's like this attractive young woman who came up to him. She was just like, you caught my eye, and just wanted to like meet him.
Good for Sam.
Yeah. And so like the rest of the night, we're like, we're just throwing Sam on our shoulders, basically.
Yeah.
You've got it, Sam. That's You've delightful. Got it. And then we had a premiere party for American Dad because we just had our
episode. Oh, yeah. It came back last Monday, right?
That's right. Mm. We went to a bar. After the bar, a few of us went to another bar. And I was trying to pick songs in the jukebox. This woman came up to me and she said, what are you picking? And I was like laying it out for her. Yeah. And she's stopped for a minute and stepped back and looked at me. She's like, wow, you are a fine looking white man. And I was like, oh. And so immediately I was like, I don't even know if I responded to her. I just ran away and texted Sam.
Yeah.
To be like, something's happening, man. We got it. We got it right now.
This is our time. Man, just hearing that, if that's like a person who struggles with decision making and making the right call, that is my nightmare. If I'm picking a song and then some attractive woman comes up and asks me what I'm picking, my brain's immediately going to be like, yeah. I am every woman. What's the right answer? What are the ones about Fiona Apple getting assaulted sexually? Because I think it's important to talk about.
Tori Amos, is that a good one? I'm not familiar with her works, but I understand women generally like her.
I know right now it looks like I'm on the page for Monster Mash. Give it time. I'm on my way to Madonna. I'm working backwards.
It was such a good feeling though. Later that night, she was outside smoking when I left, and she called me a silver fox. And I was like, "I'm gonna carry this with me." Like,
sure,
this feels great. Everybody should tell me how.
Yeah,
even if they don't mean it, just tell me something. Tell me how great looking. Yeah, I am.
She should quit smoking.
It was quite a night, and it felt like it was on the heels of Sam getting that. And I think all of us, as soon as it happened, we were like, God, did that ever used to happen for me? Like when I was at my peak, was that happening? Did people just approach you? And I thought, I don't think it did. I think I would have remembered that.
I wonder if it's just the age where it's like, oh, he's like probably married. He's got a ring. He's definitely married. I could just like, there's no stakes to this. I could just say this. Yeah. It's not real.
I mean, absolutely
it's real.
Should.
It's real.
Everybody should be doing that.
Yeah.
I realize I just now just advocated for catcalling, and I don't want that.
Can I tell you what's crazy?
What?
This happened to me in Nashville.
Yes! Yes!
This was an older married woman, but like, you know, an attractive older married woman. We were heading back to our Airbnb, and she and someone else were heading back to theirs, which was in like the same complex, and they'd clearly had some drinks, but everyone in the world had drinks that weekend. And they said, what are you doing? We said bachelor party. They said bachelorette party. The woman was saying, what about strippers? And I was like, I don't think we're going to a stripper. She's like, no, you guys come be our strippers. We need strippers. You guys will do it. And we laughed at that. Like, just that's a funny and polite thing to say. And then she kept touching me, like hands on my shoulders and chest. And she was like, we should take this one back with us. You kept it really tight. This is, you're so cute. This one's cute. And we're like, all right, we'll see you all later. We'll swing by later. Knowing that like, she mentioned being married and that there were, that she has like kids and there was an age difference between us. It was just like, it felt so harmless. It felt like, no, I'm not going to show up at your door and take my clothes off for you. And you don't want that either. It's just nice to flirt. And they walked away and I was just like, with my sweet supportive bros, I was like, that felt really good. I really needed that. that's awesome. What a kindness.
What an absolute kindness someone has shown me. Yeah. I think when it is all very surface level like that, it's actually, I'm not going to even advocate this because I know that it's different for girls. I know
it's different. Yeah.
and for women who are inundated with that, and it gets very annoying. And also when they don't answer properly, that the man will get mad. Like there's all kinds of problematic things associated with this, but maybe that's because that's why women are so good at it.
Yeah.
Is that they are familiar with how it goes. They know the very best way to approach it, like the angle of approach, and they do it and then they're out and you're just like, oh, my heart is singing. That felt great.
What a thrill.
I'm so glad that happened for you. Something's going on. Something's in the air.
Me too. I
it's the summer of good boys.
I wasn't initially. It's May. I wasn't. No, it's March.
That's not. Oh, it's not, boy. It's not even. And May would have been early.
I wasn't originally. That was on the list of things that happened in Nashville, but I wasn't gonna bring it up because it doesn't feel like a very on-brand story for me, and I don't know if it'd be the kind of thing that anyone wanted to hear about. But as you're talking about Sam and then talking about you, I was just like, there's something in the air. There's some kind of switch has been flipped. I don't understand if it's our rough ages that people are feel more comfortable approaching us, or if it's just if something in the air, something in the water. I don't know. Based on these three data points, something is fundamentally different forever.
I hope so. I'm going to spend more time in crowds and just do some research.
Yeah, I just want to post up somewhere.
Me? Did you want to say anything to me? You don't? Okay, that's fine. A lot more fish in the sea. All right, dude.
Yeah, good catching up. It's been a while. We skipped a week, I think.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's good to hear from you. And I'm going to do our business here.
Cool.
You can follow Daniel at @DOB_Inc. on Twitter. You can follow me, Soren, @_LTD. Don't be alarmed if you look for my blue check mark and it's not there this weekend. I'm giving it up. I'm magnanimously giving it up and back to Twitter so that it can use it for the greater good.
Yeah, you're donating it. You can use the words.
And you can follow Quick Question at @QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at qq@soren and daniel@gmail.com. We have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/quickquestion, where we do some additional content. is that enticing? Does that sweeten the deal? We have a sound engineer, an editor in our good friend, Gabe Harder. You won't find him anywhere, especially at gabeharder.com. And the music, if you like the music for this show, that's our theme song. It's by Mirex, and you can find their music at mirex.bandcamp.com, or you can find it on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to your music.
That's funny to specify, especially not gabeharder.com. Like, you might find him somewhere, but that's the last place he'll be.
You have a better chance of seeing him in a noodle shop than on gabeharder.com. All right, bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. So what's your favorite? How did you get? I think you'll have a great time here.